Jesus, we gather here this morning to celebrate your resurrection. Lord, while we can't all be together in the same place, we ask that your presence would go into each home and into each place where this congregation is gathered. Lord, may your Spirit join us together this morning, though we can't be together in person. But Lord, may the Spirit of Easter and resurrection power emanate through each one of us this morning as we continue to worship and study your word. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning again, everybody. Make sure you keep your microphones muted. You should be all muted right now, but it will improve the audio quality for everyone if we all stay muted. This morning, I want to look at resurrection power, and I want to look at a couple of passages in Scripture. So if you would turn in your Bibles to, we're going to look at Luke 24 and John 10. They'll be on the screen as well, but if you've got your Bible handy. We'll be in Luke 24 and John 10, 17. Today I want to look at the account of Jesus' resurrection from the book of Luke, tie it to this passage in John 10, and then I want to bring it kind of together with a conversation that I had with a friend this past week, and also tie it together a little bit into what we're going through in the world right now, and just bring this idea of resurrection power into everything. So let's start reading in Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how I told you while we were still waiting with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told us all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe them. They did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying there by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Today I want to really focus on two verses out of this passage. I want to focus on verses 5 and 11. Verse 5 says this. It says, "In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead?'" I want to focus even just on that last phrase, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" Now, of course, the women didn't yet understand that Jesus has risen from the dead, or they wouldn't have gone there with spices prepared to anoint the body. So they were looking, they were not looking for a living person, but they were looking for a dead body. But the angel's response is so powerful. "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The women had come to the tomb, a place of death, to look for a dead body. Their entire focus, their entire perspective was on dead things. But the angel says that your focus should be on the living. Look for the living in the most unlikely place to find it, a tomb. In a graveyard. This is a word for us today. Our focus should not be on death or dead things or dead bodies or dead dreams. All of the things that could be conveyed in the word death to their fullest. Rather, our focus should be on that which is living. And living in the unlikeliest of places. Our focus should be on resurrection power, even in the midst of a global pandemic. This past week, I had a conversation with a man who is very angry and upset and bitter toward God. In the conversation, he told me that he believes in God, he just doesn't like him. You see, my friend can't get past the power of evil. If there's a good God, then how is it that there's evil? How can there be death and destruction? How can there be suffering? He can't even figure out why God would send his own son to die on a cross. He sees that as so cruel. You see, I think my friend is looking at the dead among the living. Do you catch the difference? His focus is only on the dead and death, even in the midst of the risen Christ, in the midst of living. He can't get past to resurrection power. Resurrection power is the answer to death and suffering. But to see resurrection power, we must look and see beyond the circumstances of death and suffering. We must remember that Good Friday, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." I left you with that verse on Good Friday, and we're going to pick up on that theme here today. So I want us to begin to work through this idea of resurrection power and how we see past death into the resurrection power that Jesus begins. Looking at John 10, verse 17. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Resurrection power starts with love. Jesus says, "The reason that my Father loves me is because." God the Father did not put his Son to death in a cruel way on the cross, as my friend suggested. Jesus offered his own life as an act of love between the Father and the Son. Jesus also offered his own life as an act of love between himself and us. After all, we are his creation. My friend could only see the crucifixion as an act of child abuse, death, horrific. He couldn't see it as the greatest act of love ever. You see, it's hard to comprehend that kind of love from a human perspective. It's hard to see resurrection power without love. But when Jesus willingly laid down his life, it was an act of love for you and for me. I talked about that on Good Friday when I said that it was his love for us that kept him on that stump while they beat him. And it was his love for us that kept him on the cross while they crucified him. But you see, resurrection power has to start with love. Resurrection power then continues with authority. Jesus says, "I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." For resurrection power to exist, there must be an authority that is greater than death itself. Jesus has that level of authority given to him by the Father. You see, death can't overcome death. And focusing on death won't lead to resurrection. We know that death is, of course, the tool of the devil. But Jesus' authority, Scripture tells us, is far above that of the devil's. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. For us to experience resurrection power, our focus must be on the one who has authority over death. We must see death and suffering as the last-ditch effort of the devil to hurt God's people. But we must look past death to the one who has authority over it. And you see, my friend couldn't understand this. He couldn't see past death. To him, death was just so final. He couldn't understand that there could be one, Jesus, who could have absolute authority even over death. He could put down his own life and bring up his own life, but he can do that for anyone else as well. Resurrection power is put into motion with death. Jesus says that I lay down my life only to take it up again. You can't have a resurrection without a death. That's ultimately what my friend was looking for. He was looking for resurrection power, but with no suffering and no death. But of course, you can't have the later without the prior. We also have to realize that this is the character and the nature of who God is. He loves to bring dead things back to life. With resurrection power, death is never the final word. And as we looked at 2 weeks ago, death and suffering are the results of sin entering the world through Adam and Eve, original sin, and then our own sin today. But when death and suffering occur, God delights in bringing resurrection to dead things. And I'm going to come back to this. I'll end my message by coming back to this idea that God brings resurrection to dead things. Resurrection power reaches its fullness in us, his disciples. Jesus shared his resurrection authority with us. Jesus came and lived on this earth fully as a man to demonstrate to us what was within our grasp, what we could do as men and women. Jesus lived this life to demonstrate to us what we are capable of doing. And then in Matthew 10, Jesus gives his disciples the command to go raise the dead. You see, Jesus took that authority that he had from the Father, that the Father had given to him, and then he passed it on to us. We also have the authority to bring life to dead things. Do you remember last Easter, those of you who attended here last Easter? Do you remember how that service ended? The Lord simply put it on my heart to pronounce a blessing over each and every person who was here that day. A blessing of life. And do you remember how powerful that was? There wasn't a dry eye in the place. And it brought life. It brought resurrection into people's lives because the Lord showed me what to speak over each person to bring life into them. You see, even in our words, we have the power to be able to speak life over dead things. He gave us the ability to raise the literal dead. But he also gave us the power in our words to bless and to bring life to dead things. Amen. Back to Luke 24, verse 11. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. When the resurrection was first announced, it was seen as nonsense. Modern writers have tried to emphasize the fact that it was because the message was brought to them by women, and who would believe the testimony of a woman? I say, rubbish. How do you account for the fact that 2,000 years later, people still see it as nonsense? Resurrection power seems like nonsense to us because we're too focused on death. If you stare at a dead body long enough, it's hard to believe that it could ever live again. You must turn your eyes to Jesus and look toward resurrection power. If you stare at a dead dream long enough, it's hard to believe that you could ever be used by God. You must turn your eyes toward the one who resurrects everything in our life. Remember, his kingdom is not of this world. In the conversation I had with my friend, he once shouted at me, "The story of the cross and the resurrection is the craziest thing in the Bible." And I replied, "See, we agree." While many simply see it as nonsense, there's no question that it's crazy. It's crazy, but believing in resurrection power is better than sleeping with dead bodies strewn all through our life. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Now, what does it look like for resurrection power? This theme of resurrection power is all through Scripture and all through the Christian life. Even now, this morning, as I walked out of my house, I looked, and to the left of my front door, there's daffodils and there's hyacinths blooming. As we come out of a long winter, God brings resurrection power into that little bulb that's been lying dormant in the ground for months. And suddenly this incredible beauty and this incredible scent from these flowers fills the air. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, there's a great story of a valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 37:11 says this, "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off.' But then God moves in resurrection power through the prophet, and those bones come back to life." Are there any dry bones in your life? Is there a valley full of broken dreams and dry bones in your life that need to come back to life? Speak resurrection power over them. Command them to come back to life. Isaiah 61 says that God will replace our ashes with beauty. Another perfect example of resurrection power. What we think is gone, what we think is ruined, it's dust, there's nothing left but ashes. God can breathe on that and bring beauty. Jesus tells a powerful parable of a seed. John 12:24. "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." A seed must fall to the ground, go into the soil like a grave, like a tomb where it's dark and cold, and then that seed must die so that resurrection life can come and bring multiplication and new life. But when that seed is in the ground, it's dark and it's cold and it feels horrible and it feels only like death. But then that little seed feels the warmth of the sun, begins to sprout and grow new life. This concept of resurrection power is all through Scripture. Jesus tells us to die to ourselves in John 9. Luke 9:23. "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me.'" Taking up a cross talks about dying. You didn't take up a cross just for fun. We must take up our cross daily, die to ourselves. Die to our own will so that resurrection power can come and do something deeper in us and make something better out of our lives. It's the same idea in baptism. Again, there is this death when we go under the water. We're dying to ourselves. Colossians 2:12 says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Resurrection power is in baptism. We go under the water, we die to ourselves, and we come out a new creation. In the world that we live in, there is a temptation to only focus on dead things, to focus on broken things, to focus on the things that we cannot change. After all, they're all around us. Everywhere we look right now, we see death, we see suffering, we see the things that we cannot change. And my friend that I had that conversation with, he couldn't see past any of that. But we must remember that in order to see resurrection power, it must start with death. For every dead thing, there is a glorious resurrection waiting to happen. Resurrections do take time, though, don't they? Seeds take time to grow. That seed can be in the ground for several weeks, a month, before it begins to grow. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. After we get baptized, we grow into sanctification. It's a process. It takes time. Resurrections are glorious and powerful, but they only follow death, and they don't happen in an instant. God the Father could endure watching His Son on the cross because He could see past the cross into the future. He could see into resurrection power. He could see past the cross to the millions of His children that Jesus would set free from sin and death. Again, my friend couldn't see past death. He couldn't see past suffering. He even saw Jesus' death on the cross as cruel. But I ask all of us today, can we see with kingdom eyes? Can we remember that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and we must see into resurrection power? We must see beyond the dead bodies. We must take our eyes up off the dead body and look at the one who brings resurrection power. And He delights in bringing resurrection power. He delights in bringing dead things back to life. Lord, give us this same kind of vision to see past our current suffering and pain. Help us to see into the future and see the glories that You have for Your children. Lord, give us resurrection eyes, and may we walk in resurrection power this Easter Sunday. Amen. We're going to have one last song from the worship team, and then we'll have a little bit of time for prayer.